As part of what I do during the week and being a hospice chaplain, I visit probably on the average of about 20 to 25 patients a week. And there are two facilities that I we have a number of patients that I see. And they had asked me at one time if I would lead a Bible study in their particular facilities. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. Now, the problem with that is that, bless their hearts, probably 75% of my patients that I see don't even know I'm there. Dementia is fast becoming the deadliest of all of our maladies that we might suffer. Some moves on into Alzheimer's and some does not. But what happens is the brain starts to stop and stop telling the rest of the body what it should do. So what I've done is I've begun to read Bible stories. I've found that all I need to do with a person who is lying in bed, who doesn't look at me, who is just laying there staring off at the ceiling while I'm there, one of the best things I can do is try to identify something that's going to pique their memory or pique what they can have experienced. And it's interesting in that when I started doing these Bible stories, I started them one-on-one. And as the staff of the two places found out, the patients were enjoying them. Even though they couldn't tell me or wouldn't tell me, they found out that they were enjoying it. Now they've asked me to do it for the whole facility. So, on Wednesday mornings at 11 o'clock, I'm at Artists of Mason. We have an Artists of Bridgetown on our side of town. Artists of Mason, which is a memory care assisted living facility. That's on Wednesday mornings. On Thursday, I'm at Landing of Long Cove, which again is an assisted living facility in their memory care unit. And I read stories from the scripture. I've got a storybook that is intended for younger ages, basically 5 to 15-year-olds. And as I do, I can see on the faces, and I know in one of the facilities, I have about 16 or 17 that sit with me in an activities room. In the other one, I'm up to almost 20. And I can see on the faces of these folks aha moments of their remembering, whether as a child or as an adult, what we are reading. This past Wednesday, I chose to read a story about Solomon. And Solomon is the king of the Old Testament, and Solomon has more importance than we might give him credit for. Solomon, number one, was the father of King David, who we all know and who we all understand was quite the guy. But Solomon also prayed a prayer. And I would encourage you to look in your scriptures at some point in time in the book of, I believe it's 2 Kings. I was going to use it this morning as scripture, but it's about 3 chapters long. Solomon was a windy sort. But I can remember as a child hoping the prayers that were being said by the people of the congregation during church service weren't too long. Well, his was. And this reading from 2 Chronicles is just part of God's response to Solomon's prayer. Now, mind you, that in that day of Solomon, the earth was probably even in a worse shape than we are. We have seen so much over the past, pick a number of years. But we're seeing, and he said, you know, we're seeing back in Solomon's day, they were seeing a drop in people's concern for others. They were seeing criminals turned loose on society. They were seeing murders and death. And yes, they were even seeing some pestilence from what they chose at that time to blame on God. And so, as a response to that, God said to him, if my people, now I'm probably going to teach you more than I am preach you today. This is, in my opinion, one of the most critical scriptures in the Bible. We don't look at the Old Testament often because it's books of prophecy, books of telling us what's going to happen. And we can point to today and see that some of that is happening. There's no question. But here, God in his own word gave us the answer to all of our problems. And he starts out, if. It's an interesting word. It's a word that we often just use as a, you know, part of speech. But he said, if my people choose to listen to me. And he says, I'm talking about the ones who are called by my name. Wow. That's you and I. That's Christians. These are people of God. So if these people who are called by my name, and now he gives us the recipe for peace and understanding, will humble themselves. If you listen to the news, you read online or what papers we have anymore, one of the biggest issues and problems we have in America today, and maybe the world, is pride. When I was in the business world, I used to tell those young men and women who I was hiring, put your pride in your hip pocket and do what you've been taught to do. And so here today, I use that same advice to each and every one of us, especially me. Humble ourselves and pray. Pastor Scott really does preach prayer. And any man, woman, or child who stands in the pulpit who doesn't preach prayer is not giving you what you need. Prayer is the single most ingredient that we have for ourselves and our lives and our joys. Just think back in the past 2 weeks. What has been accomplished because of prayer? And I'm not going to go through my whole life, but you all know it. I'm a third generation miracle because of you, because of your prayers, the strength. Now, God is saying, if my people who are called by my name, if my Christian people whom I've chosen, will humble themselves and pray. And then he goes on to add a little bit more to it and seek my face. I don't know about you, but that's something that was a bit foreign to me until I heard this preached upon by a gentleman from England years ago. And I wish I could say it the way he said it, with his English drawl. But he said, seek Jesus' face. Don't just envision him. Call him to stand before you. Allow space in your time and your place and in your heart to envision Jesus Christ. Envision who he is. There's a picture that I walked past at Mason Christian Village in their hallway. It's a picture of Jesus that I have never seen before. The aura around him is incredible. As I looked at that the other day, I had to stop and give thanks. Because that's Jesus. He's got an aura around him that just by knowing it's there, we are blessed. So seek his face. Ask him to stand with you. Reach out to him. Most of us look at our faces in the mirror when we get up in the morning. That's not so pleasant sometimes. But trust me, if you looked in that mirror and saw the face of Jesus, it would change your life. And then he said, and turn from their wicked ways. You know, we can We can look back on our lives, and I think all of us can say, hey, you know, we weren't too bad. You know, for me, other than the Mad magazine I stole at Woolworths over in the shopping center when I was 11 years old, I haven't done too much that I can look back on and say, I haven't hurt anybody, I haven't killed anybody, I haven't, you know. But wickedness comes from separation. When we separate ourselves from God, we accept the significance of the wickedness of the world. We begin to accept that, oh, it's just the times. They've been saying that for centuries and centuries. It's just the times. But if you look out in this world and don't hide yourself from it, which I honestly try to do as much as I can, the wickedness is rampant. Not just in sexual immorality or whatever. You know, our local governments are wicked. Our local governments are. It's a good thing I'm not in the pulpit, because I would probably get disbarred or defrocked or whatever about some of the thoughts that I have. But you look at what's happened in our society because of wickedness, because of separation that people have from God. And then he says, I'll hear from heaven. Have you ever heard from heaven? I would ask you to raise your hands, but I don't want to put you on the spot. I always tell people to listen. 90% of praying is listening. Say your prayers that Jesus already knows or God already knows, but then because he knows it, stop and listen to what he's heard and listen to what he's telling you. Biggest chance is it's not going to be him standing in front of you with a scroll and wrapping you upside the head and saying, now listen. But he's going to present himself in ways that you can only imagine. The touch of someone who carries Jesus with them. The words of someone who loves the Lord and loves you and is willing to share that with you. And folks, we don't need to stand on the corners with a Bible and beat people over the head with it. But we need to live it each and every day. It's the most difficult thing that we are asked to do is to live a life worthy of Jesus' death. It's not easy. But he says, I'll hear from heaven. And when God hears, he says, I will forgive their sin. Now, we've been taught that time and again. Turning from wicked ways means to repent. Turn your back on who you were and give everything to your forwardness from here. But there's always that tendency to go back and do some of the things you once did. But he will forgive us of all that we have done outside of his love. And then maybe the most important thing for us today is where he says, I will heal their land. And there's nothing more important today in our society, in our time, and in the time that we provide to others in our care and in our love than a healing. You know, as I do, throughout our colleges today, there are massive revivals going on. Now, we heard about the one down at Asbury. That hit the internet like crazy. It's still going on. That was 6 months ago. Universities in Texas, and the big ones, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Ohio State, the whole football team at Ohio State wore undershirts proclaiming their love of Christ. And I heard on the news the other day, a gentleman who I've always kind of admired Franklin Graham said, our young people are returning to the Lord. Our young people understand what's necessary. And so I lift to you today your opportunity, my opportunity. When we leave this place, we leave the comfortable pads on the seats, which they don't have in the Catholic Church, by the way. But when we start out that door, years ago, we put above it, you are now entering the mission field. This world is our mission field. And you are called to humble yourselves, to seek his face, turn from your wicked ways, and beseech, pray the prayer of Solomon. Amen. Final hymn? It's all right there. Cure thy children's warring madness. Bend our pride to thy control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. God is good.
All the time.
Give him Christ, folks. Give him Christ.